And can we do this old school? In front of you, you should have a copy of the Bible. And because there's quite a little bit of text to read through here, could you pick up a copy? I'm looking around and I'm sure everybody here can read. So, and I mean that most sincerely. And we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. And it's the closing, it's on page 1180, 1180. Familiar to many people, if you've been a believer for any length of time, you'll know this chapter quite well, because it gets referenced a lot. Especially in the area of giving and in the area of prayer as well. And I'm going to look at this from the aspect of keeping a sound mind as you walk through life. How to do that? How can we do that? Mental illness, anxiety, depression, they're sort of endemic in our culture now. And it's because people lack the peace of God. It really is. They miss the fundamental foundation to a sound mind. And we're going to discover today in this chapter just how to maintain a healthy mind as we go through life. And Paul is closing a letter off here that he's writing to a group of people in a town or a city called Philippi. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. And then he goes on to plead with two people in that fellowship who were at odds, and they represent two groups in that church who were at odds with one another. And then we jump to verse 4, and he says, to those people, to all the people in the church, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, anxiety, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think, again it's the mind, think on such things. And whatever you learned or received or heard from me or saw in me, put into practice. And the peace of God will be with you. So let's go through this passage step by step. And we'll start at verse 4, where Paul repeats a major theme of this letter. And he's writing from prison, by the way. He's in a Roman prison, which is not a good place to be. And he writes this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. And despite the circumstance from which this letter was written, joy is all over this letter to the Philippians. Joy gets mentioned so many times. I think it's the most times in any letter joy is mentioned. So somehow in that dark pit, which many would call a pit of despair, Paul finds the secret of joy. Living in joy in a dark place. And he applies it to their discord, where they've got an argument between these two women in the church that is threatening to split the church. Paul says, joy is the antidote to that. Joy, as Spurgeon put it, is the cure for all discord. So much so is joy the cure. He repeats it. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it. And this wasn't just some sunny optimism of Paul always look on the bright side of life kind of thing. But it was a confidence that God's in control. It really was a joy in the Lord. I think we need to stir it up within our hearts. Rejoice. He's giving a command out. Rejoice. And what a great God we serve, isn't it? That his commands are so positive. It's not don't do this, don't do that. For the believer, the new covenant believer, the commands are positive. Rejoice. Do that. Don't do the dark stuff. Rejoice. You've got depression coming over your head. Rejoice in the face of that. I recently had a really nasty bout of trigeminal neuralgia, which is incredible dental type pain down your jaw, which is awful. And I really felt God pulling on this verse, rejoice in the face of it. And it was tough. But we've got to press through with these things. What a great God, though, we have. He makes delight a duty. He commands us to rejoice. Should we not be obedient to such a command at all times, no matter what? For he has intended that we should be happy. That is his will, happiness. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's the program. That's God's will for his people. Should we not press through all that Satan throws at us, and he throws terrible things at us and other people? But if Paul from prison can write, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say it, rejoice, cannot we too? And then he goes on, he has an antidote to this conflict in their church. He says, let your gentleness be known to all comers, to all men. And that word gentleness there in verse 5, if you have a look in your Bible, let your gentleness, it's a Greek word, epikeia. And it basically means lenience. Be a bit more lenient with each other. Don't put people on trial in your mind. Imagine you're a judge of that other faction. Just be lenient with them. Let them go. Let them off the hook. And he says, extend it to all men. Extend that lenience, that kindness in judgment to all men. That gentleness. And a good example of that quality is, do you remember when Jesus, the Pharisees and Sadducees were setting him up, and they brought a woman caught in adultery. And by law, she should have been stoned. But Jesus was lenient and kind. He forgave her and told her to go and sin no more. The sphere is broad. This gentleness is to be shown to all men, it says here. And then it says, the Lord is at hand. In other words, the Lord's close to his return. He's coming again. But I also take it as a like the Lord is near right now. He's near to us. So when you're letting somebody off the hook, it's easy to think, well, they got away with that. The Lord's at hand. The Lord sees it all. He'll manage it all. He'll work out what needs to be put right and what justice needs to be done. Do you remember that vengeance is mine, says the Lord? He will settle every wrong on his return, ultimately. But he will also settle the wrongs in this life for us now, too. We can trust him to make things right in a falling apart world, can't we? So we've got the setup. That's the way to approach things. Generosity. Happiness. And then he goes on to throw them into a life of prayer. Take everything to the Lord in prayer, as we know. He says, be anxious for nothing. Stop getting wound up about this situation in your church, these two factions coming at each other. Don't be anxious about that, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Here's another command of God. Be anxious for nothing. It's actually positive, isn't it? When anxiety comes your way, depression, be anxious for nothing. That's the script. Be the father or the mother of your household instead of being the child. Be the father and mother of your life and not the child of your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Be the father and mother in your life, not the child of your life. Don't be under your life's authority. God has placed you above your life. You are in charge. He says, but everything by prayer and supplication, everything is the proper subject of prayer. Everything, anything. You can bring anything to the Lord in prayer. There are not some areas of our lives that are of no concern to God. So whatever you're going through right now, be it your health, be it your education, be it your work, be it your church, be it whatever, everything you can bring to God in prayer. And he goes on, in prayer and supplication. What is prayer? It's basically any communication with God. What is supplication? It's bowing the knee. That's literally what that word means. Bow your knee. How many of you get on your knees before God in prayer? By the side of your bed? In the evening? At night? Try it. It puts you in a position of humility. And get on your knees about the situations that you face. And then he says, let your requests be made known to God. Many prayers go unanswered because we don't ask God for anything. They're just general, bless me prayers. Let requests be made known to God. And I, as a child of the 70s, when you think of requests, you think of people writing into a music show for a request to be played. And they ask for a specific song, don't they? It's not. Could you just play something? That's not a request. A request is a specific request. Be specific. God here simply invites us for our requests to be made known to him. He wants to know. But then how do we do that? With thanksgiving, it says. Do it with thanksgiving. Don't forget to say thank you. And that is a big thing with human beings, we forget to thank those concerned and the Lord. This will guard you against a whining and complaining spirit before God. We really can be anxious for nothing and pray about everything and be thankful for anything we're going through. And here comes the result, a sound mind. The promise of peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God. Now, did you know the Bible describes three aspects of peace that relate to God? Peace from God. And Paul uses that often to open his letter. Grace and peace to you from God. So it's like peace landing on you like a shower. Imagine a shower of water falling on your head. It's peace from God landing upon you. And then the Bible describes peace with God. And that's a relationship we enter into through the work of Jesus on the cross. Peace with God. And the third way it describes peace is the peace of God. It's the actual peace that God enjoys in his being, his unruffled serenity and infinitely happiness, his eternal composure, his absolute well-contentedness. Spurgeon wrote that, not me. That is the peace of God. It's beyond all mind, all thinking, all comprehension, understanding. We can't understand that level of peace. It's the peace of God. It's his peace is put into your heart and being, into your core. Can you imagine? Can we realize that? It's that peace is actually given to you when we take it to God in faithful prayer. And that peace will act as a sentinel and guard your heart and mind. It says, people lose their mind or their heart, and it is entirely because of the absence of the peace of God in their life. It's ultimately because they cannot access that peace of God. We're not meant to do this life on our own. We're meant to do it through his power, through the power of his Holy Spirit and his peace put into us. And in this world we live in right now, with the chaos and the lunacy, we need that peace more than ever. And then he goes on to describe, and we haven't got time to repeat it. Where do you park your mind now that it's at peace? And he lists a whole things of what we should be meditating on. Things that are true, noble, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Basically all the positives, right? And I work on my own during the day a lot of the time, gardening. And you've got a lot of mind space to go and park in. And often it can go, the devil wants to take it into a right negative place. He wants, in your mind, he wants to slag off everybody around you in your life, your family, your friends. He wants to pull them down. And you have to make a conscious decision. No, I'm not going that way. I'm going this positive way. I'm going to think noble thoughts. I'm going to think just thoughts. I'm going to think pure thoughts, lovely thoughts, good report. He wants to slag off the Lord in your mind and tell you that God is a liar. And he's been a liar from the beginning. And he wants to lie about God in your mind. He wants to lie about the church in your mind. And you need to park your mind in a different place. When you hear that script going on off in your mind, drive your car, the car of your mind, to another place and go and park in that beautiful place that Paul has described here. Noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praiseworthy. And he says, meditate on these things. And we're going to come to a close here. Much of our life as a believer comes down to the mind. Romans 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 10, 5, cast down every argument, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What we choose to meditate on matters. And we get to choose. We get to drive the car of our mind and park up in a bad place or a good place. And I want to put it in another, use another analogy. Change the record in your head. Change the record. And when you or the devil are playing a bad tune, just decide. That record's coming off. I'm going to choose a noble record, a just record, a pure record, a lovely record, a good report record. a praiseworthy record. And then Paul closes. He says, follow me as I follow Christ, and the God of peace will be with you in all of this as you do what I've just described. The God of peace will be with you in it all the way. And then to close his letter, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. He wasn't just filling up space at the end of his letter. To him, life as a believer begins with grace and it ends with grace. So appropriate that his letters are balanced like that. They begin with a greeting of grace and they end with a greeting of grace. And his final word of Philippians 4, amen. Amen. The fitting word of affirmation. And that is the word of agreement, is it? He wants the Philippians to agree with me. Agree with me on this. Let's do it together. Amen. Let's all say amen to that. And go and live that life of happiness. Rejoice always. Amen. I'm going to sing another song.